Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We'll read three verses here. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. We used to sing a song, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Remember that song? "The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." That is becoming more and more true, I think, for every Christian. You feel more and more out of place in this world. It's the truth. This don't fit in with the world and the way the world system and everything that's going on in our world today seems to be so, uncomfortable for the believer and the Christian. Let's read these verses, though. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This world is not my home. This is a scripture. I know we've read it and heard it a lot of different times. The world, there's really three senses in that we understand the world. The first way that we understand the world is the world that is the world created, the world around us, all of creation that is around us that we see, and we describe what we see around us as the world. And it's the physical world, that the created world. It's all around us. My, there's so much beauty and so many wonderful things about creation. I understand that we're warned about worshiping the world and the things of the world. I think there's a balance that needs to be struck there, that we certainly want to be, we don't want to be abusers of this planet, do we? God created it, so we want to take care of it, so we don't want to be litterers, and we don't want to abuse the planet. But neither do we have to go to the extreme and be tree huggers and extreme environmentalists and all of that. There's a balance there. But that's not what's being talked about here in this "Love Not the World." It's not talking about creation, the created world. And then it's also not talking about Jesus said, and we mentioned this scripture that's probably the most quoted in all of the New Testament, John 3:16, "God so loved the world." We know that's not describing the created world, the creation. It's not, but it's describing the people of the world. The 7 million people that live, 7 billion people rather, that live on this planet. God so loved the world that he sent his son into this world. And so we see the world from several different perspectives, different senses, I guess you could say. The world created, the world being the people that inhabit this world. Neither of those are being described here in John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world is the third way that we can understand about the world, and it really is just describing the world's system, the world's ways, all that's going on in our world, the culture of this world, the thinking and philosophy of this world. All that is going on around us, the system of this world, that we're warned here by the apostle, love not the world. You know, you have to guard your heart as a Christian. You have to be careful. You have to put yourself on guard. Keep your heart with all diligence, says in Proverbs chapter 4. Keep your heart, or guard your heart. Actually, the word there means garrison your heart, or build a protection around your heart, because out of it flows all of the issues of life. What's in your heart, it flows out. What's in your heart becomes who you are. Your life activities and everything that you do and everything that flows out of your life, your words, your activities, your actions, and everything that you do and everything that you involve in and participate, it's all flowing out of your affection and your heart. So that's why we have to guard our heart. We have to be careful. But we live in a world where we're, you know, I used to, you know, think 25, 30 years ago in the ministry, I could preach from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and say, love not the world. But today the world, it seems to be a much bigger, more formidable enemy than I could ever have imagined. Things in this world are becoming more anti-God, anti-truth, anti-scripture than I could have ever have imagined. That we could be living in a world when Jesus said that we're not to love the world. Love not this world. Then I believe he understood what we would be facing in this 2018 world. This culture that we're in right now. That we're just kind of immersed into a world of anti-God, anti-Christian, and everywhere you turn there is wickedness and evil and everything that is against the heart of God. And so you have to guard your heart, garrison your heart, protect your affections and your heart and your desires. And we can't, while I believe we ought to live a separated life from the world. And that's a principle that you will see all through the scripture, that we are to live a separated life. We are to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We know that God didn't mean that he wanted us to completely isolate ourselves from everything and everyone in the world. We know that he didn't want that. How could we ever even fulfill the commission that he's given to us? We have to go into the world and preach the gospel. We have to be a light in the world. We have to be an influence in the world. You can't completely isolate yourself from this world. So we're in the world, as they say, and you've heard that said many times. We're in it, but we're not of it. We're in it, but we're not to promote it. We're in it, but we're not to allow it to control us and to influence us. So you can't completely isolate yourself from the world. I've talked about it before. There was a group of monks that they called the Pillar Saints. Those Pillar Saints built towers and lived at the top of these towers for years. I'm talking a lot of their life. They were afraid they were going to be contaminated by the world, and so they would climb up to the top of these towers and they would live up there on those towers. And some of those that were later on, they were found explorers that went up into the top of these towers, and they found skeletons of monks who lived and died isolated from the world. Now, they said, we did this because we wanted to be at peace, and we wanted to not have any distractions in the world, of the world. We just wanted to get closer to God. And it all sounds real good, except it's just not biblical. Amen. You can't completely isolate yourself from this world. Sure, we're to be living a life that's separated from the world, but you can't isolate yourself from the world. We're in the world. We're involving in the world. We work in the world. We live in the world. We do business in the world. We're out there in the world. And while we're there, we are to be a light. We are to be a testimony. We're to be an influencer. We're not to be influenced. I read just a couple of days ago a Chicago pastor of a church that one of these huge mega churches, a very well-known pastor, has written a lot of books. I've got a couple of his books, wonderful books on evangelism. And he started this church as a young preacher just out of Bible college. He's been there for more than 40 years. But this week, it was just exposed that he had been involved in a lot of different types of immoral things, an affair, and even molestation, and just some unbelievable things that somehow along the way over the years, he opened himself up and apparently allowed what was around him to influence his heart and his mind. And so now he's going to die at the end of his life now, after all these years of ministry impacting a lot of people. Now he's going to finish up his life under this cloud of shame over the failures that he made because he opened himself up to the temptation of the world. And I'm always heartbroken when I hear about it. I mean, even if it's another denomination, another church or whatever, it doesn't matter. When I hear about this happening, no matter who they are, if I agreed with what they believed or taught or not, it's still a heartbreak, and it's still a terrible, terrible mark against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's really a sad, sad thing. But if anything, it can be something that should awaken us all and remind us that we're in the world, but we need to make sure that our heart is not caught up in the things of this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. All of the things that are associated with this world. Too many for me to even name. There's so many things. So many things that are of this world that the enemy can use to grab your heart, to get your affection, to steal you away from the things of God and the presence of God. Now, how can we stand against such a force? I'm telling you, today, it's much different than it was 25 years ago. There are so many things out there and in this world. There are so many forces that are in this world today. On every hand. It used to be, well, we could say, well, TV programs and things like that are wicked and evil, and so avoid stuff like that. And it's true, many of them are. But on the other hand, now we have so many other things. I read where the average teenager today receives or sends 80 text messages. The average teenager is so interconnected with other people through text messaging. Now, and whenever that's going on in young people who are not being held accountable by parents and others, then you can be sure that all of that communication will eventually move in a direction that is not pleasing to the Lord. I hope I'm not getting 80 text messages a day. God help me if I am. I don't want to receive that many. But there are all kinds of things around us now. So many forces that are around us. How can we can't climb up on a tower and hide from it all. What can we do? Well, we have to guard our heart. We have to garrison our heart. And that's something that we have to do every day and all the time. We have to protect ourselves and guard ourselves from all the things that are around us, no matter what the source might be, internet, TV, movies, all of these forces that are around us and all these things that seem to be just controlling our culture today. There has to be something on the inside, a force on the inside in our hearts, stronger than that which is on the outside. There has to be something going on in us spiritually that can counter what the enemy's trying to do, because you can be sure behind all of these things, None of them are in of themselves evil. They're not. The internet can be used for propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Radio and TV can be used for promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those things are not evil in and of themselves, but the potential is so great. And it's even more so today that the forces coming against us are stronger and stronger and stronger. So there has to be something going on in us that's greater than that which is going on in all these forces that are continually bombarding us from every direction, bombarding our young people, bombarding young families. And we feel the pressures and the force and the thinking and the philosophy of this world pressing in on us. And the only way we can counter that is something mighty and dynamic and powerful going on in our heart. There has to be a genuine move of God in our life. We have to be building up ourselves in our most holy faith. We have to be in the Word. We have to be in fellowship with the Lord, strengthening ourselves so that we do not fall prey to the attacks of the enemy. The Apostle Paul said that we're not to mind earthly things. We're not to mind earthly things. Amen. There has to be a focus that's intentionally set upon the things of God. Now, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, and prayer, and all these spiritual exercises that we involve in, there you have to determine, this is what I'm going to do. If I'm going to be able to face all of that, I'm going to have to mind heavenly things, not earthly things. I'm going to have to focus upon the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. And then we have to be reminded that there has to be an absolute distinction between that which is of the world and that which is of this, you know, the popular culture today. There has to be a distinction, a clear demarcation between what is going on in this world and what is going on in our life. Amen. We have to come out from among them and be separate, saith God. That's what the church is. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ does not succumb to all of the things that are going on in this world. Amen. Praise God. We're to represent Jesus Christ. The church has never been called to represent popular culture. That's not our calling, to be like the world, to do things like the world. We are not called to be like the world. We are called to represent Jesus Christ and to live out the principles of the Word of God and be a light to this world. Amen. And we can do that. We can do that. Even immersed into this culture. It's all around us. It's all around us. And you can feel the pressures and the, you know, the world coming in against you always. And there has to be a determination in your heart. No, I'm not going to cave into that. No, I'm not going to allow that to control my mind and my thinking. I'm not going to allow what's going on in our pop culture to influence my thinking and my way of life. I'm going to follow the principles of the Word of God. I'm going to live it out according to God's Word. Amen. Yes, we are in this world, but we are to walk as children of light out there in this world. We're to walk as Christians, that it would be obvious by our lifestyle, by our speech, by everything that we do. That person is a child of God. That person is a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what God has called us to do, because this world is not our home. This world is not our home. We're not to get so comfortable here in this world and things of this world that we allow it to affect our thinking and our philosophy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Now the Apostle Paul had traveled in a lot of different places in missionary travels. One of the places that he went was Thessalonica. Thessalonica was modern day Las Vegas, kind of a sin city, bright lights and a fun loving place. But he went there and he declared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there were converts in a church that was established there in Thessalonica, in spite of what was going on in that city, in spite of all of the world One of his converts was a young man by the name of Demas. Demas went with him, traveled with him, was a part of his missionary team. He was converted, he traveled with him, and we don't really know at what point that it happened, but somewhere along the line, Demas opened himself back up to the things of the world. He got to thinking about what he used to do, what he used to have. He got to thinking about all the attractions of Thessalonica. He set his heart and his affections on those things, and eventually left the Apostle Paul, went back to Thessalonica, and Paul said, Demas has forsaken me. Demas has forsaken me. I'm telling you that Paul is saying this, and you can almost hear the heartbreak and the grief in his voice. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has returned, gone back into Thessalonica, went back to the world, back to the ways of the world and the things of the world. There is a powerful attraction out there in the world. Parents, you can see in the hearts of your kids if they set their eyes on the world. You can see it sometimes in children when they're very, very young. They just develop a love for the world. And that is going to require a real diligent effort in prayer to pray for them and to call upon the Lord and ask the Lord to deliver them and to protect their heart from loving this present world. Amen. It's a powerful force. It certainly is. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Contrary to what some teach and some even promote in these days, that you can love the world, you can identify with the world and be like the world and still follow God, still love God. But what this scripture says here is that if you develop a love for the things of this world, it's going to push God out. It's going to push him out. He's no longer going to be the center of your heart and your affection. They cannot coexist. If you love the world, then the love of the Father, love of the things of God, it's going to push out the things of the Spirit of God. It's not possible to love God and mammon. It's not possible to love God and the things of this world. So we have to guard our heart and protect our hearts. It says in verse 17 that the world is passing away. The world is passing away. People build their lives and they live out the days of their lives. In this world today, the United States of America, that is so secular, it's so. Now, we have it okay right here. I was talking with Harry and Steve this morning, and they said, you know, you can witness to most people in London, Kentucky, and, you know, you get a fairly good response when you talk to them. They said, but, you know, you go to a place like Lexington or Louisville or Cincinnati, and you start talking to people in those major cities. And Steve said, I've had them throw rocks at me. I've had them, they don't want to hear about Jesus. And that's what's happening in our world today. If you think that's in major cities close to us, then you go to some of the cities in the eastern part of the United States and maybe over on the California coast, and you're going to see that there is a hatred for God and a hatred for the Word of God and a love for this world and everything that this world has. And the sad thing is the world's passing away. They're building everything. They're putting all of their life, their ambition, their finance, everything. They're building everything on something that's temporary. It's passing away. You build your life on God and on the Word of God. Build your life on the kingdom of God, and you're building on something that's eternal. It is never going to pass away. Amen. Glory to God. Invest in the kingdom of God. Work in the kingdom of God. It's something that will never pass away. Amen. And we need to develop that kind of a philosophy, like the song that we mentioned. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm not putting down stakes here. I'm not making this place a place that I love so much. And I'm just passing through. My treasures are all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's the kind of a life for the believer. Amen. Invest in the kingdom of God. Give of your time, your energy, your resources in the kingdom of God, because this world is passing away. Amen. You can't love the world, but because this world is just, it's passing away. It's not going to last much longer. And if we do the things that the world is doing and live that way, then we're going to definitely do damage to our testimony and the work and the ministry that we're called to. We're going to damage the work of the kingdom of God if we allow the world to get in our hearts and to love the things of this world. But the Lord can help us to make a break with the world, to make a break with the things that are grabbing for our affection and our attention. We are living in a world that's anti-God and anti-Word of God. But you can live an overcoming life. Jesus said you could. If he said it, then you can. We can overcome in this world that is so dark and such a world that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. You can live a holy life. You can live a separated life. You can live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it flow the issues of life. Everything is pouring out of your heart. Amen. All that you do, all that you say, all of your actions, it all is flowing out of your heart. Amen. Love not the world. Amen. That's the message tonight. Asking the Lord to speak to our hearts. If we've allowed these things to creep into our hearts, to steal our affection, then Lord, help us tonight to come face to face with that, to repent of that, and turn our hearts toward the Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me, everybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for your word. Thank the Lord that you have called us out. And Lord, I know that really we can only be effective as witnesses in this world as we are called out of the world, as we are a testimony that we are overcomers in this world. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.